I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting, everlasting rock.
This is the Voice of Hope.
Thank you, choir, for opening today's program with that song of praise. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to, The Voice of Hope, is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel ministry, and we use a variety of media to share the good news of salvation through Jesus. More than 400 times each week, our Bible teaching broadcasts go out across the world via radio and internet to a potential audience in the hundreds of millions. And Bibles and literature in English and other languages are being distributed every week. As I was preparing this program, we received the latest report from our Hausa language programs to northern Nigeria. In a six-month period, we received 14,147 responses. That's more than 500 responses to each weekly 15-minute program. That is simply astounding, especially coming from an area where followers of Jesus are being severely persecuted. One listener wrote this: "We here are facing Boko Haram. You are our source of encouragement. Would it be possible for you to increase the broadcast time to 30 minutes? And then another wrote, "My salvation is sure because of what I have learned from Heralds of Hope Hausa programs. Thank you so much." Try to imagine yourself in the setting these listeners are in. Can you see how the radio programs bless and encourage them? Can you understand why they're asking for additional or longer programs? Right now, we have a proposal from Transworld Radio to add an additional 15-minute broadcast in the Hausa language. Perhaps you'd like to help make that broadcast a reality. Would you at least pray with us that God will provide the funding to make this possible? Thank you. I believe it would bless our suffering brothers and sisters to remember that they are not forgotten. And I know it would encourage them in their faith.
My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh,
Last time on The Voice of Hope, we began a study from the final verses of Daniel chapter 12. It was titled, Seal the Book. I mentioned then that this is our final message from this amazing book of the Bible. In my introduction, I talked about different kinds of seals and their purposes. We looked at seals being used for authentication and said that by sealing the book, Daniel was certifying that what had been revealed to him was true. He was affirming that the things God had promised him through the angelic messengers would absolutely take place. And I also noted again the endorsement of Daniel's message by none other than Jesus Christ himself in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. And then we also talked about seals being used for preservation. At the moment, you may not need what is being sealed, but you anticipate wanting to use what is preserved sometime in the future. So Daniel was told to carefully preserve this message, especially for the benefit of those who would experience the time of the end. The end of this chapter identifies that time as the last half of the Great Tribulation. Approximately 2,500 years have passed since Daniel received these prophecies, but they are more relevant today than ever before. So let's return to our study in Daniel chapter 12, Seal the Book. To begin, I will read the text, Daniel chapter 12 and verses 4 to 13. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this riverbank and the other on that riverbank. And one said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, How long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Then I heard the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swore by him who lives forever and ever, that it shall be for a time, times, and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, My Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly. And none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. The final reason to seal the book is for information. In verse 5, Daniel's vision reveals two men standing on the banks of either side of the river. And the opening of chapter 10 tells us this is the Tigris River. Now, only one of these men actually speaks, so we might ask, what is the purpose of the two? Well, I'm not sure, but perhaps to fulfill the biblical requirement for two or three witnesses, as it's given in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15, and other scriptures as well. One of these men on the riverbank asks a question of the man clothed in linen. Now, if we go back to chapter 10, verse 5, we learn that the man clothed in linen is the heavenly messenger. The question asked is this, How long shall it be to the end or fulfillment of these wonders? The linen-clad angelic messenger responds to that question by first of all holding up both hands to heaven. Now that would immediately get your attention, wouldn't it? And then he swears by the one who lives forever and ever that the how long will be for 3.5 years. He states it as a time, times, and a half time. There's only one who lives forever and ever, and that's God. and usually the right hand is raised in taking an oath. Here, the messenger clearly lifts both hands. I believe that adds to the solemnness of the oath. You know, this scene reminds me of Hebrews chapter 6 and verses 13 to 18. It says, "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability or unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath that by two immutable or unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us." Then the messenger goes on to say that during this time, 3.5 years, when the power of the holy people is completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. When the 3.5 years of persecution have run their course, and it looks like God's people are going to be annihilated, then the time of the end will conclude with their deliverance by the second coming of Jesus Christ. And Israel, as a people, will turn to God, as Paul states in Romans chapter 11 and verse 26. I'm thinking that this final prediction must have deeply grieved Daniel, and he admits he's bewildered by the prophecy. After all of the suffering he's seen among his people, he's told there's yet more to come. So he asks again, "What shall be the end of these things?" In response, the messenger says to him, "Go your way, because the words are closed up and they're sealed until the time of the end." It seems to me that the messenger is once again telling Daniel that some of the things that were predicted wouldn't and couldn't make sense to him in his lifetime. And yet, as a partial answer to Daniel's question in verse 8, he's told in verse 9 that the time of the end will result in the purification of the saints. They will be made white and refined. Furthermore, the messenger says that the righteous will understand what's happening. Jesus talked about the difference in understanding between the righteous and the wicked in Matthew chapter 13 and verses 10 to 15. So these prophecies will be a significant source of comfort and direction to the genuine believers who are going through this extremely difficult time. This turbulent time will also reveal the depths of wickedness in the human heart. But the angel said that the wicked won't understand the events of this time because, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 11, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. So this lack of understanding will lead to their ultimate condemnation and then destruction. Verses 11 and 12 give us important revelation on the length of the time of the end. Verse 11 states that 1,290 days will elapse from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away. This is reckoned from the time when the abomination that makes desolate appears. It refers to the interruption of the Jewish sacrifices in the middle of that 7-year covenant that the Antichrist has made with them, which is Daniel's 70th week. The desecration of the temple and the altar by Antiochus Epiphanes in 168 BC was a partial fulfillment of this abomination that makes desolate. But there was no resurrection of the dead during the time of Antiochus. And Jesus referred to this event in Matthew 24 as being in the future, so there must be an ultimate fulfillment yet to come. And Jesus further stated that this event, the abomination that makes desolate, would usher in a time of unprecedented tribulation. We have seen the reference to 1,260 days several times in the book of Daniel. But here, the messenger says 1,260 290 days. Why are there an additional 30 days? And then on top of that, verse 12 mentions an additional 45 days for a total of 1,335 days. There's a special blessing that's pronounced on those who reach this point in time. I suggest that this is a matter that rests in the knowledge of God, but it may be revealed to those actually living through that time. The messenger doesn't explain the reasons for the variations of numbers of days. Since 1,260 days are mentioned numerous times, it seems like this time period ends with Jesus' visible bodily return to Jerusalem, as it's described for us in Zechariah 14:4. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations, as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. This event is followed by the judgment of the nations that's outlined in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, and also the regathering and judgment of Israel, as noted in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verses 34 to 38. It's possible the additional 75 days will allow for the completion of these events. And those who attain this goal are obviously those judged worthy to enter the kingdom. And as a result of that, they are called blessed. Finally, the divine messenger makes a solemn promise to Daniel. But go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance at the end of the days. What a blessed promise to an aged, faithful saint and prophet. The Jewish historian Josephus, who didn't accept Christian teaching, had this to say about Daniel. Everything was freely given to him unexpectedly, as to one of the greatest prophets. During his lifetime, he enjoyed honor and glory, both with kings and the common people. Although he died, his immortal memory lives on. The books he composed and left behind are still read among us even now, and we have come to believe from them that Daniel consorted with God. Not only did he spend his time foretelling future events like other prophets, but also he marked off the time when these things would take place. This final great prophetic revelation, beginning in chapter 10, is like a capstone on the entire book. It establishes the book of Daniel as foremost among the Old Testament prophetic books. Its counterpart in the New Testament is the book of Revelation. This final book of the Scripture gives us God's final word concerning his prophetic plan for the ages. As we conclude our study in the book of Daniel, it's my hope and my prayer that our studies together have been spiritually and intellectually enriching. My conclusions during this study have been based on what I feel is the most literal reading of the text. That's how I attempt to interpret all Scripture. They are also based on comparison with other prophetic scriptures. I freely acknowledge I could be mistaken in some of the details, but I've tried to be as clear and accurate as I can. I hope that in this study you have come face to face with Daniel's God, purpose, providence, and prophecy. I know that the study of prophecy has, in the past, evoked some passionate feelings, some argumentation, and even downright hostility. To me, that's terribly unfortunate, because in those situations, there's usually more heat than light generated. And the mishandling of prophecy has had a very unfortunate result in some churches. It's simply ignored. But if you and I claim to believe in divine inspiration of the Scriptures, we simply cannot ignore a third to a fourth of the biblical canon. While there's much in the prophetic scriptures that we can understand, all of us should be humble enough to admit that there are some things that are still obscure. And it may very well be that some of the things revealed to Daniel will only be fully understood by those who live in those final years of human history. Just as it was in the first advent of Jesus, there were things that the Jewish people misunderstood. Most likely, there will be details surrounding his second advent that may surprise those who live through that time. In all of our study in the book of Daniel, the most important question you and I must consider is this: are we ready for the return of Christ? Will we ultimately awake to everlasting life or to shame and everlasting contempt? Will you and I be among the wise who will shine like the brightness of the firmament and who will turn many to righteousness? When the books are opened, will your name and mine be found in them? The time is growing short, my friend. You and I must decide today.
Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God and in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for thee.
My friend, are you ready for the coming of the Lord? I hope you can answer that question with a confident yes. If you're not confident of those things, please contact us and we can help you put your faith and trust and confidence in Him. Were you blessed by today's teaching? If so, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this complete teaching, Seal the Book. We'd be happy to send a copy to you. Or you can go to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen to this teaching whenever it fits into your schedule. To request a manuscript or CD, contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Another option is to log on to our website at heraldsofhope.org and use the contact button there on our homepage to make your request. If you want to connect with us on Facebook, you can visit our page where you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging testimony. Speaking of upcoming events, you're invited to attend our Harvest Banquet at King's Banquet Barn on either November 12th or the 19th. Both meetings begin at 6:30 p.m. You'll enjoy a delicious meal, special quartet music, and an exciting report about our expanding ministry to Central Asia. An offering will be received for the Ministry of Heralds of Hope. Space is very limited, and reservations are absolutely necessary. So call our toll-free number today, 866-960-0292. That's 866-960-0292. We hope to see you there. In the meantime, if you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org. Or by calling our toll-free number, 866 9600292. We do depend upon God's grace, your fervent prayers, and your generous financial support to help keep the Voice of Hope on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I'll look for you next week here on the Voice of Hope. And until we meet again, please remember that if God is for us, no one can be against us.
In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Many times Satan whispered, there is no need to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise, where the storms never darken the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by.